Yay, Michael Gott. Michael Gott's a good friend of ours and a good friend of mine. I miss him. He's down in Texas now. So we are here celebrating 100 years of Science of Mind. And this whole year we're going to be using this book written by Ernest Holmes, which is Living the Science of Mind. And before I start my talk, I just want to let you know that Reverend Suzanne is going to go kind of toward the end of this talk. If you have questions, if there's something that you would like to know about Science of Mind, we're going to give you that opportunity. So I'm going to talk kind of fast to get you there. And because I think it's really important, we're talking about Science of Mind and how to use it, and that's really important. Yes, we love this philosophy called Science of Mind, but we each individually have to understand and know how to use it, because if we don't use it, you know, it just doesn't work. Okay, so today we look at how we can use these principles of Science of Mind, which principles are changeless truths. They always stay the same day after day after day, and nothing can change it. Like, there's only good, God is all there is, infinite spirit is here, now, everywhere, to assist us. We come into Science of Mind so it can assist us daily in our life and in our experiences. And our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, said, we must not only believe that God, our divine reality, is all power, we must use our belief in a definite way. Notice what he's saying here. We just can't read this stuff and go, oh, good, I know this. I can spout it. We take the Science of Mind principles and we embrace them. We uniquely express them in and through and as our experience. And when we begin to understand that the power and the freedom Science of Mind offers us, we realize it's in total support and partnership with and for our highest and greatest good. I personally know this one. See, because it's up to each one of us to understand that our thinking is creative. Now, we talked about that last week. And creativity is the God power flowing in and through us, individualized, uniquely alive, and expressing as you and as me. You see, we each have an aspect, that part of us that is unique and special only to us. How good is that? So what it tells us is we don't have to copy anybody else. We just have to be firmly rooted and grounded in our own divine presence. The spiritual power and law is in place. It's in place to serve you. And it's up to you whether you choose to allow that law to serve you. And our job is to learn, how can we use that? How can that serve me and bless me in my everyday life? And to allow something greater than the condition or situation, whatever it is we're in, to partner with us. We do this, in my opinion, by daily understanding that we are guided. We are loved by a power that knows only good, knows only our good. And we are never alone. I love that principle. That principle that says, I am never alone. Just gently say that to yourself, I'm never alone. I haven't been set outside, you know, sent to the woods. Infinite presence goes before me, goes before you, and makes your way perfect. Imagine that. That there's a loving power, a loving presence that goes before you, and you get to walk into it in every way, every sense, every possibility that you can imagine, serving your greatest good. And your job and my job, if you so choose, is to accept that there's this power for good and I get to walk into it. And it walks with me. And to allow this partnership with our own personal divine essence is what science of mind asks of us. You see, because this isn't some place that we spout a lot of philosophy and just say, okay, now go out and have a good day. We say, this is what you get to work with. This is up to you, how much you will take in, how much you want to have work in your life. Science of mind tells each one of us that our belief, our faith, our trust will guide us through the potholes of life. At the rate that we allow it. I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, I've hit a couple of potholes. Anybody? Ernest Holmes says, the freedom of spirit is our freedom. The power of spirit is our power. The presence of spirit is in us now. I like that. And I don't know about you, but this whole thing about trust is really what helped me as I came to this community and decided, because I said I would never be a pulpit minister. I said, okay, God, I'll go in the ministry, but this is what I'll do. I'm going to teach, I'm going to be a spiritual counselor, and I'm going to be an assistant so I can point to the guy who's driving the car and say it's up to him, not me. Thank you very much. And you know, you don't get any flack that way. Spiritual leader. So when it came time and Spirit said, it's time for you to take a church, I said, kicking and screaming. Well, I'll try it. But the trust is the piece that I was missing. I was missing that no matter what was taking place, that I had to trust that this power for good is here to serve me and serve this whole community. And that's hard. As spiritual leader, because I've had to watch people come and go out of this community, come in and go, and people I love dearly. And in the beginning, it would just break my heart, you know, and Rick would say, honey, let it go. I can't, I don't hold on to it. But then I realized that when one person leaves, somebody new comes in, and I get to love them as they go and love as they come in, and that's what we do. And we are each individual and unique in this power, and learning to trust that there's a power greater than myself is what's got me through many changes in this community. See, it's here for us to use, or kind of the analogy of you decide you're going to go sailing, but you're going to sail with only a paddle. Instead of hoisting your sails up and knowing there's a power of wind or that power of God that's going to fill your sails freely and fully, supporting you and moving forward. I don't know, which are you going to choose? The sailboat with the paddle? Or to hoist your sails and allow this partnership to work in your life. See, this power is here for each and every one of us to call upon, and it's up to you how much you're going to use. I think that's the only reason I became a minister, because I really wanted to learn this stuff and have it work in my life. So, to help you maybe come up with your questions, or maybe not, or maybe this is enticing you to talk to Susan Nye and say, I really want to join that foundations class, because that's where you're going to learn some of this stuff. Oops, did I go the wrong one? Let's see. Da, 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 da. Yes, this one's first. Okay. This is what it's all about. That there's God, and if you don't like the word God, because a lot of people have different connotations when they see the word God or when I speak about that. So then let's talk about spirit. Let's talk about infinite. Let's talk about the divine. By whatever name, it doesn't matter. There's only one power. And this power works through love and law. Now, the law isn't something that's going to put you in jail. The law is, okay, because sometimes when we're teaching this and we say the law, people go, oh, yeah, I've been in trouble before. Anyway, the law always says yes. This is really important. As you believe, as you think, as you say to yourself, this law always says yes. And to work with that law, we need to have a mental equivalent. I'll get to that in a moment. But the law works because all really God is love. And Ernest Holmes, toward the end of his life, he said, you know, even though I said the love and the law is equal, he said, I realized that love is truly all there is. And that's God. That's the infinite. That's the creator, is all love. And it's from this love that the law is created and says yes. Now listen to this. You as a parent or a best friend, anybody a parent or a best friend? Y'all not raising your hand. Do you need some help over here? I would be your friend. Anyway. Come back. Okay. All right. Now, as parents or best friends, we try to love each other without criticism, without judgment. But, you know, we want our kids to be a certain way. We want them to respond a certain way or have the best life possible. And if it shows up that they're not having quite the best life possible, we get worried about them and we want to help them. Yes, anybody? Now, even your best friend, but have you tried this? You know, anyway, okay? But God so loves that God always says, no matter what you believe or say about yourself, I will always love you. Now, anybody able to do that? Good. So you haven't met God yet. That's okay. And because I will forever love you, I create this law that as you believe, so shall it be, that then, as you believe, if you think that you are worse than the worm, which worms are really good, they help us with our soil, but whatever you believe about yourself, this aspect, spirit, always says, I love you. So if you say you're stupid or you're not good enough or you never succeed or you never are going to find the right partner and you don't have any friends, some of you that don't have friends, then guess what? The law is always going to say, yes, because I so love you, I'm not going to tell you, oh, honey, think again. You see? God doesn't do that. Do you get that? Does that make sense? Good. Having a mental equivalent then means that to have this law work for us, we've got to know that there's a possibility that what it is we're desiring to have take place in our life, we can see it or feel it is a possibility. Yes, does that make sense? Okay, good. And then the next thing that we do, which you would learn in one of, and especially a foundations class, is how we pray. And I'm going to do this really quickly because if you've got any questions, I really would like Reverend Suzanne to take the microphone to you. So number one, we believe that God is all there is. I am absolutely one with that. I am part of it. And then number three is where this is where we put the mental equivalent, what we're trusting, what we're accepting, what we're knowing, all the good that is going to take place in our lives. This is not where we beg and beseech. This is where we just know and we absolutely trust and rely on this infinite power to create, to bring into our life or to clear the way. I know you've heard the story. I kept having my students in Santa Rosa praying for this wonderful man that would come into my life. And every year that I was teaching these classes, I'd say, okay, can you see this man in my life? And they go, they could really see it. I didn't get asked out. I had no dates. And then all of a sudden, I had to do the work that I asked the students to do. And I'd say, what's marriage? Marriage is confining, restrictive, bondage, not very comfortable. That was my belief. That's what had to change in here to bring in this wonderful person into my life. And once that changed, boom, gave him permission to come in. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay, so then we give thanks for that that is already on its way, and we release, we let it go, and so it is. Amen. Thank you, God. Okay? Simple, quick course. All right. Anybody have any questions? Reverend Suzanne's going to raise your hand. Yes, we got a question over there. Good.
If you could explain, so my brain can understand this.
That's good.
How you always say, God always says yes. God always says yes.
Yeah.
I'm not understanding how this is a important point. I just don't quite understand that.
The law says yes.
So are you saying that the law is the fact that God is love and God always loves us and it's always for our good? Is that what it means when you
always
say
what?
Is always good and always for our good and God always loves us? Is that what you're saying is the reason?
It's as we believe.
That God always says yes.
The law responds to what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about life, what we say is taking place. If we feel that everybody else has that connection to the power and the presence of God, but not me, and I even as a practitioner, I felt this. I'd watch people heal in front of me. I said, how come they get demonstrations? I'm not demonstrating over here. You see? So there are times that there's a part of us that questions and doubts this love. And the law can only respond to our belief system because it so loves us. This so loves us. Does that make sense?
So the love is the yes.
The love is the yes.
God,
yes.
That is what that concept is. It's
right.
The love that Spirit
the
has
love
for
that
us.
Always says yes. Now, there are times when that's why we don't want it to say, this is who I want. This is what I want. It's like, I want to stay open and available to the best possible for me, okay? So that's why we don't want to be specific about getting the red Jeep, okay? Or getting somebody else's husband. Excuse me. That's another story. Anyway, so do you see, we want that fits us. That works for us, that serves our greatest good. So we don't want to go like this. Well, I know that's what's going to serve my good. This is, okay, God, whatever serves my greatest good. Because we want to stay open to our belief system. But see, I believed that I really didn't want to be in a relationship, that marriage was not going to serve me. It serves me beautifully. Because then I had to redefine what that means. Does that make sense?
I think so. So we can say, this is a hard
That's
one
okay.
for me. I'm
it's
sorry.
All right.
So we can say, this is what I want, but unless we are open to the yes that God says to us, it's not really going to happen. We have to be available and open.
Available
and
to this or greater. One of the things that we say in Science of Mind is this or greater. Okay, so that because we can't possibly know exactly what's right for us. It wasn't right for me to take a church. It was right because there was a lot for me to learn. There was a lot for me to understand about faith and trust. There was a lot that my other life didn't give me. Okay, and I was ready to do that. It's really important that we believe that there's a power for good and it's here to serve us. And yes, there are times that we're going to keep hitting the potholes of life. And yet, it helps bring us back to who am I? Who is God in me? Who is the spirit of life that is in me? And if I keep working on this firm foundation, it will absolutely support me and bring the greater good to my into my life. And I might not know what that is. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Good.
Got it.
Another hand. Jess, right next.
Since it's right here.
We might take it a little bit over, but I think these are okay. Good questions. You like this?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, long before I began studying science of mind, I remember Henry Ford's expression, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. He's saying the same thing there. Yeah. But along with what we're talking about here, I'm beginning to understand more the feeling behind it too. Could you talk a little bit about that? It's easy to just say, well, I believe this is going to happen. But in your heart of hearts, are you really feeling that?
Yeah. Yeah, the feeling's very, thank you, Jess. That's a really good one. The feelings are really important because once that I really could get the feeling of what it was like to walk with this person who loved, cherished, and adored me, then I started working with that feeling that somebody could love me just as I am. And the start of that meant that I had to love me just as I am, that I needed not to do anything differently, but just be me. And So, we've got to get into the feeling. What will it feel like to be in that relationship? And are you willing to not only pray for that relationship, but pray for yourself in the process of accepting that, of course, I can be loved just as I am? And, or the job. What do you want that job? How many of you have taken a job that you knew wasn't for you? How many of you dated somebody that you knew wasn't for you? How many of you did something that you said, oh, I know that's not going to work for me, but I really need this job. Or, oh, well, I'll make this relationship work. Okay? So how is it going to feel? I want to walk into a place where I've, in a job situation where I feel supported, where I feel appreciated, where I feel blah, blah, blah. I want to be in a relationship that I feel that way. I don't want to have to pretend who I am because I don't do that real well. Okay? Somebody else? Yes. Number two, I am.
Yes.
It means that everything you possibly might know about the presence of spirit, so too am I. I am that. I am that loving essence. I am that powerful divine essence is uniquely expressing this that is uniquely everywhere present is individualized in me as me. I am one with it. Okay? And this isn't easy. If we're holding a bunch of stuff against ourselves, this is one that needs some work. We might want to ask for prayer.
Well, my question is, I think where I get stuck sometimes in the potholes of life is I feel separate. I don't feel that connection. And, you know, unfortunately, I had, you know, some, you know,
yeah,
interesting upbringing when it came to God. And God was an external God of my upbringing.
Yeah.
And what I love about Science of Mind is, no, it is in me, as me, through me. But
right.
I forget. That's where I okay. tend to, when I feel separate
great.
You
from
guys
are having
source.
Great questions.
Yeah,
thank you.
So
when we feel separate, number one, we want to call a practitioner or a minister, ask them to pray for us. That's one thing. But the other thing that you can do, if you have a Science of Mind textbook or if you have a book that's inspiring, you stop with this and you say, okay, I need help to understand that this life, this power is within me. And then grab something from your bookshelf. I love Science of Mind textbook, and the reason I love it is because it has meditations in the back, and I guarantee you start reading in the back of the book the meditations that Ernest Holmes has written, 3 or 4 of them, and all of a sudden, you'll drop into this space of the I am. Okay? Then you can go into this. If you go through your prayer, you'll learn this in class, and you get to this place. I teach all practitioners, and I say, you get to this place and you don't feel thanks yet, go back and start again. There are no mistakes in this. You cannot make a mistake in this, and we're running late. But, okay? Any other questions that need to be? All right, good. We'll do this more often next Sunday. We've got Reverend Suzanne speaking. I'm going away for a retreat. Something just happened. No worries. All right, so let's just take this moment. And I think I really want that song. I'm not going to pray. Let's just go and play that last song, because I think it's going to talk about